called, and then. But you, there's a thing here.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dove. We had a little bit of, I had a little bit of difficulty getting the right thing. Well, here we are. We're glad that we are here. And we are here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to remember who we are, to experience ourselves as we have been created. And the manner in which we do that is really, and again, I'm not telling anybody anything, but the manner in which that is accomplished is through the mind training of the workbook of A Course in Miracles. Again, I'm not trying to inform anybody of anything. I'm just expressing what I have discovered for myself, that the starting point from which all of this proceeds is really contained in the single sentence from Lesson 14, and that is, the world I see has nothing to do with reality. It is of my own making, and it does not exist. That is the truth. The truth is, God is, and this isn't. Now, in this idea that there is something not that, or there is a condition apart from the truth, is completely, first off, it's non-exist, because that is the whole world. Nothing to do with reality, it is of my own making, and it does not exist. It is non-existent. Implicit in that is the idea that the idea, the world, what I consider to be myself, or conceptual self-identity, simply does not exist. But I cannot subtract the idea that it is absolutely only going on in my mind, that whatever you think you are must be included in with reality. Not that it has any reality in that it has an existence apart from reality, but that really God is the mind with which you think. You are the only living Son of God, is another way that we express it. Yet, in this condition in which you find yourself, is literally the denial of that truth. Okay, that's the opening. From that point, I am actually going to turn you over to Juby, because she will elucidate this beautifully.
Oh my gosh, hi, hello everyone, and I just have a coughing fit. Thank you so much for showing up this evening. It's a real pleasure and an honor and a privilege to be here with you. And as Claire has stated, we are here for one reason and one reason only. We are actually here personally, individually, to undergo the experience of the transformation of our individual mind to the awakening and recognition of the truth that we are whole and perfect as we were created by God. I don't know where that went, and I don't even know if that sentence made sense, but I'm sure you get the idea. We're here, ACIM gather for A Course in Miracles. If we're gathering for A Course in Miracles, that's the reason we are gathering. We are gathering for that experience. And as you know, the title of our talk, the title of our class, is How Simple the Solution. And all we really are underscoring is sharing the experience of our mind that the truth is simple, God is here, God is now and really completely available but for the asking. There isn't anything else but God. And the only thing that we have suffered from is an idea that we were somehow separated from Him. Luckily for us, we have this extraordinary system of mind training, this system of awakening given to us by the awakened mind of Jesus Christ, as the way, the truth, and the life, as the way in which we undergo this experience right here and now, the way in which we remember what the truth really is. And, you know, I like to start actually with the lesson of the day, because that's all we really need to be realigned, to come back into that awareness if we had found ourselves drifting for a moment. The only thing that's important, and we have to keep underscoring this, is that this is a personal, individual process. It's a personal, individual happening. It's occurring to you in your mind right here, right now. The question always is, how much do you want it? Because you will experience the happiness that is yours, that is your very nature, to the degree that you are willing to let go and let God. So that's what we're about. Jesus is going to speak to us here with an instruction called, what is sin? And he is going to express what this apparent condition is. And we know from our own experience, and I know that you all know this individually, personally, everything that Claire has said, that the world I see has nothing to do with reality. It is of my own making, and it does not exist. And so, as you have defined yourself as a human being, that condition is completely non-existent. Jesus uses the analogy of a dream, that you are right now, in this moment, in a condition of dreaming. You're quite literally hallucinating. You're experiencing illusions. You're experiencing a mirage. You are seeing what is not there at all. That condition of believing that you are separate and that what you're seeing is real, that condition is known as sin, the idea of being separate from your Creator. And Jesus is going to, in this moment, take you, grab you by the mind and lead you along a course of awakening. And he's going to start with, what is sin? What is this condition? What is this condition of separation? It's insanity. Sin is insanity. It is the means by which the mind is driven mad and seeks to let illusions take the place of truth. So as you have defined yourself striving and struggling in a condition that you call a world with an unfathomable, unbridgeable distance between you and your Creator, that condition, as you've defined yourself, say your name, that condition is insanity. It is not real. It's the means by which the mind is driven mad and seeks to let illusions take the place of truth. And being mad, it sees illusions where the truth should be and where it really is. Sin, that idea of separation, gave the body eyes. For what is there the sinless would behold? That idea that you are separate is quite literally your entire body identity. That idea that you're a separate entity, separate from everything. That is not true. It is a way that your mind is working or seems to be working right now. It is a process of hallucination. And all that we're really doing, all that we're engaging in right now, is the reversal of that way of thinking. It is the letting go. It is the forgiveness and coming to experience the wholeness of our mind. So now I'm going to finish this paragraph and I'm going to turn it over to Claire. So sin is what gave the body eyes, for what is there the sinless would behold? As a whole, complete, perfect creation of a perfect creator, what would you need to see that is not you already? What is there that sinless would behold? What need have they of sights or sounds or touch? What would they hear or reach to grasp? What would they sense at all? To sense is not to know. And truth can be but filled with knowledge and with nothing else. You see, what you are is what everything is. It's what truth is. And in your desire right now to know that, an opening is occurring in the mind. That's what we're here for. We're here to experience that joy, to experience that love, to experience that unity, that oneness that we are. So with that said, I'm going to turn you over to Claire.
Over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Juby. Yeah, as Juby was talking, there's a couple ideas that I lighted on, and that is the idea that the body's eyes don't see and the ears don't hear, that to sense is not to know. And the desire to know has to be, in the beginning, the recognition that as you have defined yourself, you don't know anything. That you are literally blind, deaf, and dumb. That there isn't a little bit, that it's total, that you are not seeing partially, that you're not seeing at all. And the... I don't know the word that I'm looking for, but the idea that you must at least admit it to yourself that you really don't know anything is now, you have now acknowledged, let's say, a starting point where you can be taught or where you can be shown. Shown is a better word. Where you can be shown that the world you see has nothing to do with reality. It is of your own making and it does not exist. Recently, I was watching a video of the Master Teacher, and the analogy that he gives in terms of electromagnetic energy and the spectrum of electromagnetic energy in which you're using in your body identification is that what you call sight or sound, even radio waves. If you look at a piano being 88 notes, that your range of the electromagnetic range or spectrum that you occupy in your identification of yourself is the equivalent to that of one note on the whole keyboard. And so from that very, very, very limited perspective, you literally can't know, how could you know anything from such a limited perspective? And so again, this is what he says, is that, you know, sin gave the body's eyes, for what is there the sinless would behold? Like, as you know yourself, and I know that I'm reiterating everything that Juby said here, but it's really the only thing that can really be expressed, is that there is no place where the two meet, that you can't see a little and you can't know a little, that any part of knowledge is all knowledge, and that, you know, we're never talking about it. It's always the expression of what it is. And what it is, the truth, yourself, God, is all that there is. But I will continue with what is sin. Are we okay with this?
Mm.
Okay. The body is the instrument, the mind, made in its efforts to deceive itself. This is great. The body is the instrument. So the purpose of the body was made in an effort to deceive yourself. Its purpose is to strive. Yet, can the goal of striving change? Now the body serves a different aim for striving. It's interesting that he uses the word aim here, because as everyone has probably heard, and if you have not, you'll hear it now, that sin is actually, we translate in English the word sin, but in Greek and in Aramaic, the word for sin actually means off the mark or off target, that it is a
Hi, Juby and Claire, can you hear me? I think you dropped the mic. Juby, Claire?
Did we lose you? Oh. Okay, are we okay now? Okay, great. I don't know where I fell off, but it. I'll just carry on.
It's an archery term.
It's an archery term. Yeah, it is an archery term. It means off target. And so, if you're off target, you're missing the aim. So that your thought, your idea of yourself is misaimed, if I can say it. Your aim is off. That you are as God created you. And being as God created you, you are as He is. Now, this condition that you call separate self is literally off target. It is not in line with the nature of what you are. That this is off the mark is a good way to say it, because it is an archery term, but it's a misalignment, it's a misthought, it's a miscreation in that sense, that it is yeah, you get the idea. I just can't find the words tonight. I'll just carry on. Okay, so now the body serves a different aim for striving. What it seeks for now is chosen by the aim the mind has taken as a replacement for the goal of self-deception. It's nothing more than a realignment. It is aligning. I won't even go there with it that way. It is an undoing in the sense that in the relinquishment of being off can the realignment be established. This is A Course in Miracles. It is a correction. He says the miracle is a correction. It is a realignment. It breaks up erroneous perception and aligns it properly. Truth can be its aim as well as lies. The senses will then seek instead for witnesses to what is true. And again, this absolutely has to follow simply because everything that you see is a reflection of your own mind. That you are actually seeing exactly what it is that you want to see. And that projection makes perception, right? That what you perceive is how you think of yourself. It cannot not be, because God is the mind with which you think. There is nothing apart from your thought. And in fact, everything that you experience is literally how you think about yourself. Okay. I hope I was okay with that. Juby, are we okay? Yeah, so I'm going to actually turn it back over. I should have given her a little bit more warning. I apologize about that. But carry on.
Thanks, Claire. So here we are. It's everything that Claire just said and everything that we're reading. But you know, you've got to remember the class is called How Simple the Solution. And so we really are here in the performance, if you like, or the exercise of the solution, the acceptance or the receiving of the given solution. Because the solution really is truth. The solution is God. The solution is that the problem is not real. The solution is that we never were separated from our Creator. And that's the truth of it. And so then, it is literally incumbent upon you, personally, individually, right here and right now, as you are sitting there or standing there, to recognize that this message is being given directly and only to you. Mm-hmm. And you have to really begin now to accept it, to look at it within your own mind, to entertain the ideas that are actually being expressed here. Claire spoke earlier on about perspective, that if you look at what you call yourself, that you're really a tiny, 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 tiny speck. And, you know, every child is very aware of this. If, you know, the first time I went to Hayden's Planetarium in New York, I was completely overwhelmed. Because, you know, you look at yourself, and you can do this on YouTube. There's a wonderful little video on YouTube, and I think it's called The Power of Ten. You know, or you can watch Monty Python and listen to the Universe song. Think of yourself as you're sitting there in your house. Think of your house in relation to your county. Think of your county in relation to your state. Think of your state in relation to the USA. Think of the USA in relation to the world. Think of the world in relation to the solar system, in relation to the galaxy, and so on and so forth. And then you really begin to see that you're even smaller than just a speck. In fact, you're so small, you really don't exist at all. And that's just the fact of the matter. Jesus calls the human thought system an infinitely small maze. And that's exactly, it's infinitely small, you know. But you have to really begin to see that that's you. You know, this isn't some theory that we're looking at over a cup of tea or a glass of wine. This is you in your problems, in your situation, as you are right now. Get a load of that. Begin to look at the idea now that the body's eyes, what you are calling your eyes, that you are depending on to form opinions about everything, is not even seeing at all. Begin to really entertain that idea. Begin to allow that into your mind. This is A Course in Miracles. Jesus speaks for 1,400 pages. Begin to allow those words to take root in your consciousness and see for yourself what starts to happen. This is the experience of miracle-mindedness. We're not here to just speak about it. There is something going on right now that is the awakening of your own consciousness. This is the removal of the blocks to your awareness of love's presence. But you are all awareness. You are all mind. So let's just continue with what is sin and see what Jesus does with this. The body, as Claire was reading earlier on, is the instrument the mind made in its effort to deceive itself. But that's you. Your body, not somebody else's. So I'm going to skip over to the next paragraph. Sin, your idea of separation, your mind right now, is the home of all illusions, which but stand for things imagined. So everything that's going on right now is just your own imagination. All of it, it's your imagination. get a feel for that. Issuing from thoughts that are untrue. This is lesson number 4. These thoughts don't mean anything. Every single thing you're thinking right now has no meaning, is not true. Let that be. They are the proof, quote unquote, that what has no reality is real. Sin, your condition of separation, proves to you that God's Son is evil. Timelessness must have an end. Eternal life must die. That's the condition in which you live. You believe in sequential time. You believe in a world of separate things. You believe that you are going to terminate in death and everything dies around you. You really believe that life actually is death. So listen now, and that God himself has lost the son he loves, that you're somehow separate from your creator, you've become evil, you are no longer the pure love and the pure light and the pure goodness of God himself, with but corruption to complete himself, his will forever overcome by death, love slain by hate, and peace to be no more. That's you. That's what you believe. You really need to make that admission. And in the making of that admission, right here and right now, you really do begin to experience something else. Because what we're reading is actually occurring in your mind. The voice of Jesus Christ is really your own voice. This has come. The light has come. This is a real experience that you are giving leave to right now, right here in your own mind. And I'm going to turn it over to Claire.
Thank you, Juby. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more that I can really add to that. I will just reiterate it because, you know, I look at the screen here that where everybody's typing everything, and everything that everybody says, yeah, that's great. I have no problem with any of it. I think the only thing that I would have to say for myself is that, you know, to say the statements or to let's say restated in another way the ideas, and it all very well correlates and all that, because of course it would, is a unified thought system. But the difference between just saying it because it sounds good in that it's you can look at it afar rather than to take it home to yourself. I mean, when I look at the idea, for example, that this is not your home, or there is no world from lesson 132, immediately the idea, then what is true, is impelling. Is that the right word? It's impelling. Like, I have a desire to know. Because if this isn't it, and I'm told it isn't it, and my experience has indicated that it isn't it, that this is not what life is, that this is not true, that the condition of sin, or the condition of pain, sickness, and death, the condition of losing the things that I love, the condition of uncertainty about anything, you know, that, you know, I'll use the example that Juby gives, you know, like if the temperature goes up so high and you burn, it goes down and you freeze, you don't know that the guy driving down the road isn't going to turn his car and hit you, you don't know anything about anything, that there is no security in this condition because it is based on on conflict. It is what conflict is. And so in the idea that this is not what life is, would immediately draw my mind to the idea, well, then what is true? I have to know. This isn't it. Okay, let me let all of this go. I need to know who and what I am. So all I can say is that, you know, whatever we express in words is that we're not really talking about it. We are sharing or witnessing to the certainty of the reality of God, and that all our efforts can only be directed to that. Okay, so I'm going to continue in with what is sin. I just have to find out where we've left off.
Yeah, it's a bad paragraph.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually going to jump down to the last paragraph. How long, O Son of God, will you maintain the game of sin? That is a question to you personally. This is Jesus saying, how long will you maintain this game of sin? Shall we not put away these sharp-edged children's toys? I mean, I really love the expression of this. Sharp-edged. They cause pain, but they're children's toys. How soon will you be ready to come home? Perhaps today? There is no sin. Creation is unchanged. Would you still hold return to heaven back? Here it is again. How long, O Holy Son of God? How long? This is incredible. So, the very next lesson, and I know that I jumped over a few paragraphs, but the very next lesson gives me my complete answer if I'm willing to accept it. If you're willing to accept it, everything you need is in this. I am in need of nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. And again, I don't, you know, I have to just express it how it is for me, and that is that with a statement like that, it really does put everything in perspective. And I'll go back to what Judy said about how little you are. I mean, when you really begin to look at it, how much of your energy and time is directed to solving the problem as you see it, when in fact, the only thing that you need is the truth. That one experience literally wipes it away. That you see that the world you see has nothing to do with reality. It is of your own making, and it simply does not exist. The problem is not true. So I'm going to go ahead and read the lesson. And as I read the lesson, we are going to accept for ourselves. We are reading this in first person. This is your statement to yourself as to the way it truly is for you right now. Not later, not tomorrow, today, right now. I sought for many things and found despair. Now do I seek but one, for in that one is all I need and only what I need. All that I sought before I needed not and did not even want. My only need I did not recognize. But now I see that I need only truth. In that all needs are satisfied, all cravings end, all hopes are finally fulfilled, and dreams are gone. Now I have everything I could need. Now I have everything I could want. And now, at last, I find myself at peace. And for That peace, our Father, we give thanks. We have denied ourselves. You have restored. And only that is what we really want. While we denied ourselves, you have restored. And that, and only that, is what we really want. And so, there it is. And so each moment, right now, this is my practice, this is your practice, that we've really set aside and let go of observations and ideas concerning what it could be, or what it could mean, or what forgiveness is, and all of that, that literally, right now, you can accept for yourself the truth. And this is Jesus' thing, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Why? Because you already are free. Okay, so we have we only have about 20 minutes left. I don't know. Jukes, do you have anything more?
Well, there's not really anything that anyone can add to that. Except that, you know, like Claire was saying, the lesson is in the first person. I am in need of nothing but the truth. Is that what you're saying? Because that's really what determines whether... Because you're always receiving exactly what you're asking for. It's quite an extraordinary thing. But in this moment, and I don't care how you've got the story wired, but you're getting, in this moment, exactly, to the last farthing, Jesus would say, what you are seeking. Because your cause and effect actually are not separated. And this is a true experience. So the question always is, what is it that you think you need? The truth is, you're in need of nothing but the truth. You're in need of nothing. That's the truth. But you have conceived of yourself and manufactured yourself. You've manufactured this idea of this entity with a whole range of needs. And the one thing that you have been resisting is the truth. And you're probably doing it right now. And you will give me all the conceptual, supercilious bullshit to really avoid looking at the crisis that you call your existence. Excuse me. So all I can really say, and I'm only speaking from the certainty of my own transformed mind, I have come to know who I am, and the world I see holds absolutely nothing that I want. Is that true for you? Because if that is true for you, you are sharing the joy and the love and the light of your Creator right now. And you can't lie to yourself about that. This is the beauty of it. So the lesson is, I'm in need of nothing but the truth. Is that true for you? Is that what you need? Because if you are the one that's really, truly saying that, welcome home is all I can say. I sought for many things and found despair. Are you at that point where you've really had enough pain? Because this is what was said to me in my awakening. To come into this teaching, to come into this realization, you have to have had enough pain. And it's not about the concept, it's not about that. It's right there, as you're sitting there, in your heart of hearts. Have you had enough? Are you at the bottom? Because the solution is immediate. The solution is simple. It is now. God is. Jesus will say this, we say that God is and then we cease to speak, because there's literally no other part of the mind that is holding itself separate to be aware of something not itself. So you can't lie about that. Where are you right now? Where are you with this? Because this is about you and you're really at the heart of it. And what is needed is honesty. This is a characteristic, is it not, of a teacher of God. So you really do need to be honest about where you are finding yourself in this moment. Because in that honesty, you are the voice that is speaking this lesson. In that honesty, you literally recognize that there is no separation between me and you, that this is your voice. And you welcome me home into your own mind. It is impossible for me to tell you anything that you do not know. I sought for many things and found despair. Now do I seek but one. Is that true? Because if you're seeking one, welcome home. See, the joy is unmistakable. The love is unmistakable. That's how you know. Jesus says, you know, has it passed the test of perfect peace, or words to that effect. See, you can't lie about it. That's why we're here. We're here to share in that glory, to share in that love. We're here in the admission of this lesson, that I'm in need of nothing but the truth. It's all I want, it's all there is, and it's all I have. Thank you, Father. I love you with all my heart. I'm going to give you back to Claire, because I don't really think it's so cool to end 20 minutes early. So we probably will go to lesson 76 from here, because that's something else that we lined up to read. And again, because in every single moment, you always are being given the opportunity to choose again. See, heaven is here, heaven is now. So in any moment that you're willing to open your eyes, to open your mind, to open your heart, boom, here it is. So I'm going to pass you over to Claire. I love you with all my heart. And, you know, I may or may not come back later. But here is Claire.
Thanks, Judy. Yeah, lesson 76. It is, somebody says it's one of my favorite lessons. Yeah, it's a tough lesson, 76, because it doesn't give you any sort of leeway for yourself as you've defined yourself at all. And, you know, the other thing I just want to speak about very briefly before we go to the lesson is this idea that you have choice. You know, the fact of the matter is that in your idea of choice, you think you're actually deciding between two things, and that's simply not true. Whatever your experience is, each moment is your choice of what you think you are. And it's as simple as that. And until you begin to accept that everything is absolutely a result of your own thought, until that becomes part of your awareness, you think that you're choosing between this or that, and that is indeed not the case. That you, the world you see, how does he say this? You know, here is your world, complete in all details. There is nothing omitted that you choose. That everything, as you experience it, is quite literally your choice. It still doesn't have anything to do with reality. But anyway, I'm under no laws but God's. He begins, we have observed before how many senseless things have seemed to you to be salvation. Each has imprisoned you with laws as senseless as itself. So the senseless things that seem to be in salvation are what is imprisoning you with laws as senseless. You are not bound by them. Yet to understand that this is so, you must first realize salvation lies not there. While you would seek for it in things that have no meaning, you bind yourself to laws that make no sense. Thus do you seek to prove salvation is where it is not. See, it's interesting that he tells you that in this idea of seeking for senseless things, that your purpose in that, and I've introduced the word purpose, but anyway, you seek to prove salvation is where it is not. That the whole idea is a reinforcement to yourself of what you believe salvation is and where you think it is. Today, we'll be glad you cannot prove it. For if you could, you would forever seek salvation where it is not and never find it. The idea for today tells you once again how simple is salvation. Isn't that the title of our class? How simple the solution? Mm-hmm. How simple is salvation? Look for it where it waits for you, and there it will be found. Look nowhere else, for it is nowhere else. Think of the freedom in the recognition that you are not bound by all the strange and twisted laws you have set up to save you. And this is great, because now he's going to deal with the very specifics as to where you believe your safety lies. You really think that you would starve unless you had stacks of green paper strips and piles of metal discs. You really think a small round pellet or some fluid pushed into your veins through a sharpened needle will ward off disease and death. You really think you are alone unless another body is with you. Here is that word again, insanity. It is insanity that thinks these things. What is sin? Sin is insanity. It is insanity. It's not that these things are insane. It's insanity that thinks these things. It is the belief that you are separate, that you are a separate self that thinks these things. That's insanity. You call them laws and put them under different names in a long catalog of rituals that have no use and serve no purpose. You think you must obey the laws of medicine, of economics, and of health. Protect the body and you will be saved. These are not laws, but madness. This is great. The body is endangered by the mind that hurts itself. The body suffers just in order that the mind will fail to see it is a victim of itself. The body's suffering is the mask the mind holds up to hide what really suffers. In lesson 190, he says pain is a wrong perspective. In other words, it's this idea that, holding up this mask to hide what really suffers, that the pain itself is the wrong perspective. The pain itself is the belief that you are a body, the belief that you are not as you were created. Okay, it would not understand it's its own enemy and that it attacks itself and wants to die. It is from this your laws would save the body. It is for this that you think you are a body. There are no laws except the laws of God. This needs repeating over and over until you realize it applies to everything that you have made in opposition to God's will. This needs repeating over and over until you realize it applies to everything that you have made in opposition to God's will. There are no laws except the laws of God. Your magic has no meaning. What it is meant to save does not exist. Only what it is meant to hide will save you. The laws of God can never be replaced. This is again, and I'm going to revisit this idea of choice. The laws of God can never be replaced. The idea of choice is the idea that the will of God or the laws of God can be replaced. They cannot be replaced. And that all that choice is an idea that you can be different than what you are. That, you're given the idea of choice only because because you believe that you have changed yourself already, and so you must let it go. But the fact of the matter is, the laws of God can never be replaced. We will devote today in rejoicing that this is so. It is no longer a truth we would hide. We realize instead it is a truth that keeps us free forever. Magic imprisons, but the laws of God make free. The light has come because there are no laws but His. We will begin our longer practice periods today with a short review of the different kinds of laws we have believed we must obey. These would include, for example, the laws of nutrition, of immunization, of medication, and of the body's protection in innumerable ways. Think further. You believe in the laws of friendship, of good relationships, and reciprocity. Perhaps you even think there are laws which sets forth what is God's and what is yours. Many religions have been based on this. They would not save but damn in heaven's name. Yet they are no more strange than other laws you hold must be obeyed to make you safe. There are no laws but God's. Dismiss all foolish magical beliefs and hold your mind in silent readiness to hear the voice that speaks the truth to you. So, here it is again, where we are presented with the opening of our minds and the release of all the ideas, of all the beliefs, of all the laws that you believe that you must obey, that the relinquishment, let me start over again, that it is a complete and total relinquishment. It is an opening of your mind. It is really a statement, into thy hands I commend my spirit, that I am not this at all. This is not what life is, that you are not from here. But again, as Jupy expressed, this has to be your desire and your need. No one can convince you of this. As she expressed earlier too, have you had enough pain? That this realization does not really dawn on your mind without the acknowledgement that, well, that I've had enough pain, that you've had enough pain. Because remember, this is an idea that, you know, you are getting gratification for yourself and your idea of yourself. That until you begin to see that your idea of yourself is indeed what pain is, there's no possibility, because you've kept the truth blocked by filling your mind with everything that has no meaning. Anyway, I'm under no laws but God's. I love you guys with all my heart. I'm really at a loss of words right now. I'm completely blank. I love you. I just, you know, all I can say is may the peace of God be with you, because it is. And I'll turn you over to Jupy.
Yeah, thank you, Claire. Well, that's, you know, that's really it. We just keep saying, and this is a whole course of miracles. Jesus says the same thing over and over and over and over again. And we say the same things over and over and over again. Not because we are seeking to convince, because there really isn't anyone to convince. You know, there is no world, and that really is the truth of the matter. And this is very, very, very good news. And if you let all your problems be your idea of a separate self-identity, you'll spring into heaven immediately. The difficulty that you always encounter, and that you're perhaps encountering now, is that you think you can base yourself as yourself as you've defined yourself, and then work out and define your problem and solution from that point. That's quite literally impossible. Absolutely impossible. You are not a body. You are free. You are still as God created you. And so if you're serious about A Course in Miracles and you're serious about these lessons, let today's lesson be your answer. Completely there. Let every single thing that Claire just said be your answer. Completely. What if it were really true that the only problem that you have is that you think you are that individual sitting right there, living in that house, doing whatever it is that you think you're doing? You see, you're not even questioning any of that. And as Jesus would say, and I will say, and I will bear this out with Jesus in this moment, to learn this course requires your questioning of every single value that you hold. The biggest, quote-unquote, value that you hold is your idea of yourself. That's it. And you are holding that. You don't question it. You never let it go. It is the repository and the home of all your fears. It is what fear is. It is what sin is. It's what insanity is. It's what hallucination is. Your idea of yourself. This is A Course in Miracles. In your willingness right now to simply trust, to turn your will and your life over to the care of God, you begin to experience yourself in a whole new way. It's a real happening. We call it an awakening. We call it enlightenment. That's the lesson, just before the lesson that we just read. The light has come. There are no laws but God's. There is nothing. God is quite literally all in all. It doesn't do me any good to tell you that, but it will do you the world of good to actually begin to experience it for yourself. And the only way that you experience the truth is quite literally through the transformation of your mind, through the release or the relinquishment of your individual self-identity. How do you do that? It is not done. It is a miracle. It is a miracle. And that's what this is. This is A Course in Miracles. And so you allow this idea to find a place in your mind. The way that the master teacher of A Course in Miracles expresses it, he says, you work this program, and in a moment you find that the program is working you. This is the entire workbook of A Course in Miracles. So today's lesson, I am in need of nothing but the truth. Let that take hold. Let that be true for you. Let that be your single desire. And my goodness gracious me, of that we cannot speak. So I thank you with all my heart. It's endeavoracademy.com, but I think .org will actually go to it. I just looked down to what was being written here from Dove. So I love you with all my heart. It's now 8 o'clock exactly. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for everything. Remember that God goes with you wherever you go. God is a mind with which you think. God bless us, each and every single one. Over and out. We're going to release the mic now.